You have FallenHeroesMemorial.com, a lot of different sites, and probably the biggest is Legacy.com, which has a whole In Remembrance section with thousands of pages for people who were killed in Afghanistan or Iraq, and guest book that you can log on to and read and leave your own entry.
In the work that you did, in the research that you did, I see that you found it serves so many different purposes. My grandfather buried at Arlington until I moved to the D.C. area. I really couldn't visit his grave. But this provides the ability for loved ones who are left behind to do it every day.
Exactly, Amy. Not only could you visit it every day, you could visit it from anywhere in the world. If you want to read the messages others have left, you can do it in private at your leisure. If you want to leave a post yourself, you can craft it, as opposed to, let's say, standing in line at a guest book at a wake at a funeral home where there's, you know, a line behind you and pressure to move on. This has a lot of advantages.
And it also offers accessibility, all sorts of, in fact, you have a couple of bullet points here, accessibility, immediacy, so people can, all of a sudden, every day sort of becomes a Memorial Day, and it sort of spreads out, and other people can share their ideas. It's really sort of a different way of sharing both grief and respect.
Exactly. I think one aspect that I didn't mention in the piece, which was suggested to me, is that another bullet advantage of the sites is anonymity. You don't have to leave your name if you don't want to, and you can compose what you're doing when you're by yourself. One person who studied this thinks that men in particular have a certain problem with expressing grief, and she argued that this gives men in particular a forum for expressing themselves that they wouldn't have otherwise.
I wonder, is this a manifestation of the newness and the trendiness, if you don't mind the word, of social networking and Web 2.0 technologies and that sort of collaboration? Or is this a manifestation of the war? Or has this become a perfect storm to allow this to happen because the two are coinciding?
I think, yeah, it's clearly the perfect storm. On some of the sites, not so much Legacy, but on some of the sites, you really see social networks evolving, and you really see a conversation. One poster will respond to a previous one, and so you have, over a period of years, an ongoing conversation about the deceased, about some other subjects, and you can almost see evolution in the posters. As their own attitudes change, or they go through changes, their attitudes change. The downside to that, however, is that on some sites, you begin to have sort of political fights break out, which don't have anything to do with the deceased or mourning. Or you might even have family disputes in which different members of the family suddenly start to ventilate their issues online. I say that's not a good thing. Obviously, it works for some people. But if the point of the site is to, you know, commemorate the dead, it seems a little bit off point.
My very next question was about having somebody there to sort of monitor and screen some of the comments. Does that defeat the purpose, or is that something that's becoming more necessary? What did you find?
Well, Legacy has really been through this. Hayes Ferguson, the COO, told me that they've been through evolutions of this process. When they first started, I think they were much more bullish about editing and sort of screening the responses, if for no other reason they didn't have as many as they do now. Now I think they're more permissive, if that's the right word. They say they don't want to act as censors. They're just simply trying to establish a certain kind of civility. So anything that's overtly political or commercial or profane, they'll edit out. But they don't, beyond that, they seem to let a lot of things get through. So I do think you get a sense of the various kinds of people who are posting on the site.
Is this something that's, I mean, everyone's sort of watching a lot of this Web 2.0 stuff and seeing how it's going to evolve, and I'm really fascinated, and I happen to use a site where people who have had families that have had traumatic injuries, and they can sort of update large groups of folks in sort of this public way, and it seems like all of a sudden we're finding ways to sort of share both our grief and our respect for people in this new way.
Well, Chris, yeah, I think sharing is the operative word, because you can post video, you can post audio, still photographs. Each of these sites for the fallen service people is just a trove of information about them in every kind of way. You know, everything from portraits to remembrances. One non-military site, somebody even put up, you know, grandma's favorite recipes.
Yeah. Are most of these are not governmental sites? Most of them are operated by private companies, right?
Oh yeah, they're private, or they're in some cases you simply put up your own site unaffiliated with let's say Legacy or Fallen Heroes or any of the the group sites for service people.
It's really remarkable stuff, and you actually quote in the article, and it's really, you did a great job. You quote a bunch of, these are passages that you found on the various websites, right?
Yeah, people are amazing. You know, that's no secret. People are amazingly eloquent when they're writing about something that means something to them, or about someone that means something to them, and the syntax or spelling or grammar might not always be perfect. It almost never is perfect. There was a 12-year-old girl I read who was posting on one site, and she apologized, saying, I text a lot.
She was trying to do it in 140 characters or less.
Right.
I wonder, do you see this going anywhere from here? Do you see any evolution down the road?
Well, I think the Legacy people have thought a lot about it, and it's proprietary, so they didn't necessarily, you know, let on to me where they think the future is. But for the reasons we've discussed, accessibility, individuality, intimacy, even anonymity, the sky would just seem to be the limit. But I think there's always a place for the physical dimension of this. People would like to have a gravesite to go to. People want to have a ritual, a funeral or a memorial service or a wake where they meet each other. So I certainly don't think it'll replace any of those rituals, but it's got to supplant them. It already is.
And you also write about how these are forming communities in some way, online and offline.
There are a lot of people who just, even though they don't know the deceased, will see that he was killed in Iraq, and they'll go on the site and leave a message. But then somebody else will respond to them, and you get a conversation going between them that isn't eventually, you know, directly related to the deceased, a soldier or Marine.